You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 11th of May, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today we are going to continue discussing the experience of Reverend Dr. Bernard Randall, who is a vicar in the Church of England and who was also employed by a school to be responsible for the religious instruction of the pupils. And we heard yesterday about how he was reported to prevent for giving a sermon on how to respond to LGBT teachings. And basically he was saying in the sermon that everybody's entitled to have a different point of view, and you don't have to agree with them and they don't have to agree with you. And we have to be tolerant of people having different views, and the view of the church and the view of the Bible and the traditional Christian view is a different viewpoint to the viewpoint which the LGBT activists have. And that was essentially all that he was saying. And this was because he'd been asked to give some instruction on it by the pupils, and the school responded by reporting him to anti-terrorism services. So this is very concerning, because it is saying that traditional Christian teachings are the equivalent of terrorism. And thankfully, Prevent said that his sermon did not meet the threshold for terrorism. But the school itself had to wait until Prevent had told them that. They didn't realise themselves that this is just the Church of England. How can it be considered a terrorist organisation? It's the Church of England. That's one of the really concerning things about this, is that the school waited until they had heard back from Prevent to decide on whether he was a terrorist or not. So what we're going to look at today is where this all started. A Monday morning, just before the start of term, and the teaching staff of Trent College are in the dining hall chanting two-word slogans. It occurs to the school chaplain, the Reverend Dr. Bernard Randall, sitting near the front, that the woman, on whose every word they hang, Ellie Barnes, possesses the fervour of a revivalist preacher. To others, the event might also seem redolent of a rally in a totalitarian state. And this is where things have become so warped and reversed, because this is the sort of thing that you would associate with religion, revivalist preachers, people chanting out slogans, singing out praise the Lord or hallelujah or what have you. Only here they are shouting out these pro-LGBT slogans, which is of course political, and the school should not be politicized. Yes, children should be taught to tolerate everybody else's opinions, but to have the teachers chanting slogans, which as we will see are Marxist slogans, is very alarming. And as he says, this seemed more like a rally in a totalitarian state. Dr. Barnes runs an organization called Educate and Celebrate. Standing at a lectern, she demonstrates with growing zeal how to embed gender, gender identity, and sexual orientation into the fabric of the school. Just think about that. I mean, when you take that at face value, you just look at it and you think, well, what does it mean, embed gender into the fabric of the school? Isn't gender embedded into everything? Don't we have male and female throughout the natural world. There is male and female, and male and female go together to create another new male or female. It's essential to life. Gender is already embedded into absolutely everything. So what can it mean? And then it says gender identity. So obviously what they mean by this is we have a very small fraction of society that gets confused about their gender, and instead of helping them with that confusion and helping them to associate with the biological sex that they are, we encourage them in the belief that they are actually a different gender to the biological sex that they are. And this is something which is really an adult issue. I mean, when you think about it, when you have children, we've always had tomboys, we've always had little girls that like to do boys things, and once they get to puberty, they always change and they become feminine and they enjoy being women once they get to puberty. But now what we are trying to do is to turn all of those tomboys that turned into just normal girls once they got through puberty, we're trying to confuse them and tell them that they've been born in the wrong body, and they're trying to bring this teaching into the schools to create more of these confused individuals. Why should that be taught to children in schools? Why should we be confusing them about their gender? Why should we be saying to them it is possible to have a different gender to the biological sex that you are? I mean, children like to have boundaries. They like to know what is right and what is wrong. They like to be told exactly how something is. They don't want to be confused. They don't want to be told that that they're doing the wrong thing by behaving like a little boy if they are a little boy. The more we can encourage boys to behave like boys and girls to behave like girls, the less of a problem we're going to have with this. And we are going to have a problem with it. We have lots of endocrine disruptors in the environment, lots of hormone disruptors, particularly plastic and bisphenol A. We know that testosterone levels have dropped by 20% in the last 20 years. We know that sperm levels are dropping at the same rate as testosterone. We know that marine life is becoming intersex and often having confused genitalia. We know that we have all these sorts of problems due to what we've done to the environment, which are occurring now to people being confused about their gender because the hormones are being disrupted. So the way to deal with that is to work on the damage to the environment, but also with children is to encourage them to identify with the biological sex that they are. We should be working really hard at that, at getting little boys to be little boys and little girls to be little girls. If we don't do that, then we're just encouraging confusion. We are just encouraging more people to grow up and think that they are a different gender to their biological sex. I mean, that must be absolutely awful to think that you've been born into the wrong body, and to have that reinforced by the state when we know that 99 times out of 100 with people that are confused like that, once they get to puberty, they're okay. It means that in the future, we're going to have a lot of kids that are saying, why did you do this to me? Why did you do this to me? Why? We are creating monstrosities by preventing children from actually going through puberty at the time that they should go through puberty, and by giving them the opposite hormones to the ones that they should actually have. And this is preparing these children at these schools to think that that is normal, and it's not normal. We've only been able to isolate these hormones over the last, I don't know, 70 years, maybe 100 years. We don't know what the long-term results are of giving the opposite sex the hormones for the opposite sex. And it says here they want to embed sexual orientation into the fabric of the school. And what they mean by sexual orientation is homosexuality. So rather than teaching the children that life is created by male and female getting together, and that's what sex is for, they want to tell them that sex is just there for pleasure, and it doesn't matter how you get that pleasure. You can get that pleasure with somebody of your own gender if you wish, and that is okay. And if everybody was to do that, if everybody was to have sex with their own gender, then humans would die out. It's not something that is conducive to society, is it? If you're telling people to get together with their own gender, then it's basically suicide for humanity. If any of the other creatures in the natural world were to start doing that, they would die out. They would go extinct. So what they're trying to embed into the fabric of this school is harmful, isn't it? It's harmful. They may say it's not harmful to the individual, but if everybody was to do it, I can't think of anything that would be more harmful to the group than to stop breeding and stop procreating. The next slogan, the syllable-crammed exhortation smash heteronormativity, flashes up on a giant screen, and the teachers dutifully repeat it, usually applied negatively. The term refers to the attitude that opposite sex attraction is the norm. And of course, opposite sex attraction is the norm. We would die out if it wasn't the norm. Why are they trying to smash that? Why are they trying to smash the idea that males should be procreating with females and creating more life? And this is extreme left. This is extreme left-wing ideology that is being taught to these teachers here. And then these teachers are going on to brainwash the children with it. I mean, this is like neuro-linguistic programming, isn't it? They've got these words flashing up on a giant screen, and everybody's got to chant them out loud to reinforce this idea in the teacher's mind so that they bring it up when they are teaching the children. And it's beyond feminism, communism. This is extreme homosexual activism here. Smash heteronormativity. You've got violence included in that. You've got the word smash. They want to smash heteronormativity. That means you could look at that and say, well, that means they want to smash heterosexuals. They want to smash the children's parents for producing the children. They think it would be much better if the children's parents had been homosexual instead and not had any children. Dr. Randall recalls that as others chanted, he remained silent, deeply troubled by what he felt was the revolutionary Marxist flavour of the language and the sentiments expressed. And another troubling thing about this is the fact that he's the only person that is questioning this. All the other teachers at the school were going along with this. They were all chanting smash heteronormativity, and they were all thinking it's great that we have revolutionary Marxism in the schools. Why do we have this in the schools? We have it in the schools because it's in the universities, and because it's in the universities, it's managed to make its way out everywhere, not just in the schools, but in the government and in the media. Everyone that goes to universities has this drilled into them, these left-wing ideas, and this is why society has become so maladaptive. Partially, maybe it's because when people devote their time to raising children, they haven't got time to absorb these maladaptive ideas. The ones that don't actually have children, that don't have to spend all their money on those children, they can devote the time to working on these crazy ideas. And because they don't have children, because they are maladaptive anyway, they have more money. And because they have more money, they can help to spread these ideas. The homosexuals are known for having more disposable income than heterosexuals because they don't have the children to look after. And Dr. Edward Dutton has done a lot of work into where these left-wing ideas come from and why they're so harmful for the group and why they get promoted, and the people that promote them usually have a very high mutational load in their genetics, which you can see from their faces that they're not quite symmetrical. It shows in the way that they are, that they have this distorted way of thinking and they have distorted features because of it. And these are now the people that are teaching our children. It's so much better to homeschool your children. And of course, the problem with that is a lot of the parents just haven't got the ability to do that, which is why we need more community building, more nationalist community building, so that there is a wider group of people that you can appeal to help you when you are educating your children at home. And of course, why Patriotic Alternative have their homeschooling section on the website to save our children from being brainwashed with the idea that they should be smashing heteronormativity and confusing them about their gender. The chanting was frankly bizarre and I felt uncomfortable, he says. It was all very cleverly put together, though. Her rhetorical skills were impressive. She started off slowly with general things about anti-bullying and diversity, which no one could object to. But then the focus moved to gender identity and an introduction to the language of trans, and there seemed to be an emphasis on instruction rather than suggestion. So what's going on here, rather than actually coming out with facts and statistics, she is appealing to people's emotion. Of course, everybody is against bullying. Everybody thinks diversity is a good thing. And once she gets the audience agreeing with her about those things, then she'll slowly move on to these other subjects, gender identity and transsexual ideas, so that she can get those ideas into the audience. And as he says here, her rhetorical skills were impressive. So they've picked this woman to do this because she's very good at it. She's like a revivalist preacher. He found it embarrassing that Dr. Barnes was giving teachers stickers bearing her group's rainbow logo when they answered questions correctly. So again, what we see here is this is homosexual activism. The rainbow logo is used by homosexual activists. This is not a non-politicized group. This is an explicitly politicized group that are promoting explicitly left-wing ideas about homosexuality and transsexualism with the general goal of dividing society. I mean, they may talk about diversity, but what they're actually doing is trying to divide people so that the nation becomes weaker and the nation is easier to rule, and it makes it easier for them to bring in these maladaptive ideas, and it makes it easier for the other groups that we are competing with to take control and to give them more influence than our group. And it all boils down to Darwinian group selection, the various extended kinship groups that are in society, and they compete for influence and they compete for resources, and they try to weaken the other groups. And the best way to weaken the other groups is to divide these other groups. So instead of having people that are identified with their ethnicity and are saying, well, we're all part of this ethnicity, so we're going to work together, you say, oh, no, don't identify with your ethnicity. Identify with being homosexual, or identify with being bisexual, or identify with being transsexual, or identify with being pansexual, or identify with being promiscuous, or all number of things they have introduced to try and divide society. And of course, with something like homosexuality, which is very divisive in itself because historically it has been against the law, and it was against the law because it was seen as being against nature. So to introduce that is going to be a very contentious issue, which is going to divide people and weaken people. And that is the real point of them doing this. This is why it's Marxists that are doing it, because they are seeking to weaken our society so that they can have their revolution. They used to try and do it in the past with the workers of the world, and since the Second World War, they're now trying to do it with the minorities, and they wish to use the minorities to break down the establishment so that they can put a new world order in its place. It may appear on the surface to be different from communism, but the general goal of having a world government, that is still there, the same goal that they've had since Babylon thousands of years ago. When she overheard Dr. Randall explaining the meaning of cisgender to an unenlightened colleague, it refers to someone who identifies with the sex into which they were born, he was offered a sticker. He declined. I bet he did. I bet he didn't want to be seen walking around with a rainbow sticker. And you do wonder why they've decided to use the rainbow. The symbolic representation of the rainbow is that it means that God will not destroy the world again. It means that he promised that he would not destroy the world again. So why have homosexuals chosen to use a symbol like that for their homosexual activism when we read about homosexuality in the Old Testament and we read that God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because they were engaging in sodomy, because it's one of the laws of the Old Testament that a man shall not lie with another man. So why have homosexuals decided to use this symbol that was God promising that he wouldn't destroy the world again? Are they daring God to destroy the world and saying, you promised you wouldn't destroy the world, so we're going to do our best to make it so you want to destroy the world? It's a very strange symbol for them to use, and I can't recall it being explained anywhere why they chose to use this symbol, but of course a chaplain of a school is not going to wish to be seen wearing one of these symbols, which essentially shows that he supports people breaking the Old Testament laws of God. And of course, the Old Testament laws still apply in the New Testament. Today, Dr. Randall is without a job. His career is in jeopardy. He pinpoints that day in September 2018 as the start of his troubles, although at the time he had no idea of the dark way in which events would unfold. I had concerns beforehand, but reserved judgment because I believe in freedom of speech, recalls Dr. Randall. And this is just it. It's only us on the right wing now, only us traditionalists, that do believe in freedom of speech. We believe in allowing these people to have their say, and we believe that we should be entitled to respond to what they say. We wish to have a dialogue with them because we believe our way to be the way that is based upon the truth, and we believe their way to not be based on the truth. And the very fact that they try to deplatform us rather than have a debate and a dialogue with us really shows that they know that their views are not based on a foundation of truth, because if they were, they would have no fear of debating us. They would have no fear of other people hearing what we have to say, because what they have to say would counter it. And it doesn't counter it. It doesn't counter it. That's why they try to censor us. So this chaplain believes in freedom of speech. So he went along there to see what was being said. And above all, it was the focus on gender identity that bothered him, the blurring of the biological distinctions between men and women. And of course, that's going to be what bothers him, because it's going to cause confusion in the children. It's going to lead to psychological problems in these children to be taught this. He says they were importing this identity politics kind of way of approaching things, which comes from Marxist and postmodern roots, which is fundamentally atheist. They were bringing in this atheist worldview into a Christian school, and my job, as I saw it, was to speak up a little bit about some of the difficulties that might raise. And people may say, well, why is it fundamentally atheist to talk about homosexuality and to be pro-homosexual? Well, because the religious view is that we were created male and female so that we could create little replicas of us and have families. And yet this view, the LGBTQ view, is that we have sex purely for the purely to give us pleasure. And it's not about having children, it's just purely about pleasure. And that's the opposite of the religious view. And to say that it is just about pleasure, and that we should be able to decide what is good for us just by giving into pleasure, again, that is saying that, well, there is nothing above us that we should be obeying. Whereas the Christian view is that we have God that created mankind, and God gave us laws for the benefit of mankind, and we don't know better than God. We are not eternal. We have mortal lives. We don't know what the eventual outcome will be of breaking the laws that God gave us. Whereas the homosexual activists will say, well, we know better than our people of the past, and we have a right to decide to create our own laws. And that's the humanist point of view. That's the atheist point of view that is being brought into this school, which is supposed to be a Christian school. Dr. Randall claims he was particularly aggrieved to hear Dr. Barnes claim that gender identity, an individual sense of having a particular gender, was a protected characteristic under the Equality Act. So at a suitable juncture, he discreetly took her aside and pointed out that this was not the case. He also took issue with what he says was her claim that as many people are born intersex, in which a person may have genitalia or chromosomes from both sexes, as are born with ginger hair. He says after a short discussion, she conceded that the data on the subject was not reliable. So we can see she hasn't got the right statistics here. She is promoting ideas that are not backed up by science, but she is claiming that they are backed up by science, and she is using emotionalism to get this across to the teachers. And we can see that Dr. Randall here, he knows what he's talking about. He's studied Marxism, and he has studied this LGBTQ agenda. I would suggest he's just the sort of person that you do want in a school, because you want to have a balanced view. These children need to be taught both sides of the debate, and they need to be taught how to debate. And of course, the school don't want that. They just want to silence the other side of the debate. They don't want to be producing children that are capable of debating and capable of seeing things from both sides. They just want to produce children that are going to repeat whatever they've been told. During another training session in January 2019, Dr. Randall claims that he learned a decision had been made to pursue the Educate and Celebrate program in full. This involved trying to meet 30 targets to achieve gold standard status. Dr. Randall claims that one was the instruction for all departments and faculties to embed LGBT+ inclusive lessons. And what does that mean? On the surface, you think, well, that means you should be including LGBTQ children. How can you have LGBTQ children when the age for sex is over 16 and you cannot actually be a homosexual unless you are engaging in homosexual sex? There should be no such thing as an LGBTQ school pupil, because to actually be one means that they have broken the law. Of course, you want to include every pupil in the lessons, but what they mean by LGBT inclusive lessons means that every lesson has to promote the idea that the homosexual lifestyle is a positive lifestyle and in every way equal to the heterosexual lifestyle. And it's not. You only have to look at the statistics for disease, the statistics for depression, the statistics for suicide, and of course the fact that they can't produce their own children. They are not equal. And it shouldn't be taught as being a positive thing. They teach these children things such as being gay is good, which a child is going to interpret as meaning that he should be gay because the child is going to want to be good. Others included holding a fundraiser for Educate and Celebrate and putting up an LGBT display in key areas of the school, including reception, hall, theatre, corridors and library. So they basically want to just fill the school with promotion for homosexual activity. And don't forget, homosexuals only make up 1 to 2% of the population, according to most studies. And this is increasing. And the fact that it is increasing shows that this style of teaching this in the schools is not unbiased, and it is not just teaching them about it. It has to be promoting it to them, or we wouldn't have this increase in homosexuals and trans in our schools. Why else would there be an increase? It has to be because it's being promoted by the way that it's being taught. Despite previous assurances, he says that he was told that he had not been included in discussions because he might disagree with it. The fact that he might disagree with it, that's the reason why he should have been involved in these discussions. If you don't have somebody that disagrees there, it's not really a discussion, is it? It's just repeating what they've been told. Unsurprisingly, Dr. Randall was angry that he had been sidelined. The school pressed ahead with the LGBT program, but Dr. Randall says he was never consulted on how, for instance, it might be tailored to fit with the school's stated position in support of the Protestant and evangelical principles of the Church of England. And again, this is a very important point. The church, the school is supposed to be a Christian school. The school is funded partly by charity to teach Christianity to children. And yet the school is going ahead with a program that teaches the opposite of Christianity, and they have sidelined the pastor who is responsible for the Christian teaching of the children, and they've actually sacked him, and they've actually reported him for terrorism simply because he has actually taught the pupils about Christianity. And it all goes back to this Marxist rally that they basically had within the school, where they were getting the teachers to shout out smash heteronormativity. I mean, it sounds like a Labour Party conference, doesn't it, rather than a teacher training day. It must be so confusing and frustrating for the pupils when they're being taught two opposing ideas, and they're being taught things that contradict with what they can see with their own eyes, and that contradict with their own instincts, and they're being taught things that they can see are wrong, and yet the teachers are telling them they are right. It's no wonder that we have lots of children with mental health problems now, is it? When we're giving them neurosis in their school lessons like this by giving them two conflicting ideas to hold within their heads. Anyway, I think we'll leave that there for today, and tomorrow we might actually take a look at the sermon that he gave that got him into all this trouble. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.